Psalm 23, focusing on verses 1, 2, and 3. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. This is the word of God. Let us pray. We need to hear from you. Lord, we need a word from you. If we don't hear from you, what shall we do? Wanting you more each day, show us your perfect way. There is no other way that we can live. We need your word. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. Your word that saves, your word that heals, your word that delivers and sets free. Speak, Lord, your servants here. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The 23rd Psalm is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. And in recent months, dealing with loss and uncertainty and even sickness, I find myself replaying its words in my mind. Its poetic verse, full of comfort and encouragement, has helped me through some difficult days. To say that the Lord is my shepherd stands as a reminder that I am one of the Lord's beloved sheep, a sheep privileged to be in the care of a shepherd who is willing and able to supply all of my need. The sheep-shepherd metaphor is found throughout the Bible. Old Testament prophets like Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel declare that God is our shepherd and we are God's covenant people, his flock. When Jesus looked over the crowd gathered on the shores of Galilee, he had compassion upon them because the text says they were like sheep without a shepherd. And in response to their sheep-like need, the good shepherd began to teach them. And then later that day, he fed more than 5,000 with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. He took a lunchable and made it a banquet meal. Psalm 23 really is our corporate testimony because each of us can testify the Lord is my shepherd. Collectively, that means that the Lord is our shepherd. He provides for us individually and collectively. You know, when you think about it, you and I do have a lot in common with sheep. Even though that truth is not flattering, it's not much of a stretch to say that you and I are a lot like sheep. As Isaiah points out, we go astray like sheep. Oh, you may not want to own up to it publicly, so let me be translucent in a sermonic confession. In my recent past, I've wandered from God. I've said things. I've done things. I've made choices that were not pleasing in God's sight. You don't have to admit you're wrong. I'll stand here and admit mine. Because the truth of the matter is, whether you admit it or not, some of us are wandering right now. Even with your extra holy self, you wandering and don't know it. In the words of the hymn writer, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. It's part of the human condition. It's part of the human condition, and it highlights our sheep-like nature. And not only are we prone to stray like sheep, we're prone to fall into pits like sheep do. Jesus made note of this sheep-like tendency of ours over in Matthew chapter 12, where he challenged the superficial righteousness of the Pharisees. I mean, most of us don't want to admit it, but I wonder if there's anybody listening who's been walking around minding your own business, and suddenly you find yourself in a situation you can't get out of. All of a sudden, there you are in a pit of sickness, a pit of depression, a pit of anger, a pit of loss. All of a sudden in a pit, who do you turn to? Well, we have a shepherd who will reach down into the pit and lift us out. See, it ain't a bad thing to be a sheep when you got a shepherd like ours, a shepherd who's got your back. When David called us sheep and the Lord our shepherd, he must have been thinking about his own shepherding days. Before he became a king, he had to fight off a lion and a bear to protect defenseless sheep. That's par for the course. That's a shepherd's job description. Listen, have you ever had to deal with life's predators? Haters, liars, backstabbers, people who took advantage of you? So you ought to be glad we have a shepherd who is willing and able to care for us, able to provide for us, who has a plan that will carry us through the ups and downs of life. That's what David is trying to point out here in these first three verses of the 23rd Psalm. I want us to focus on those verses this morning. You've heard them read once, but I want to read them again. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. We, God's sheep, ought to celebrate the truth that we have a shepherd who provides for us and who has a plan for us. Let's walk around in this text and rediscover the promise of God. David, the shepherd turned king, opens this sacred verse by pointing out that we are the beneficiaries of the shepherd's provision. By declaring that the Lord is my shepherd, David personalizes this promise of God. All that follows in the psalm flows from our personal, individual, one-on-one relationship with the Lord who will supply our need. Because the Lord is my shepherd, we lack nothing. Why? How can this be true? It's because the shepherd supplies every need. A clearer translation of that first verse might read something like this: the Lord is shepherding me, therefore I do not lack anything. You see, the original language makes it clear that the Lord is actively involved in shepherding us, and that the object of his activity is individually oriented. God is on the job and he's watching over me. God is on the job and he's watching over you, like a shepherd watches his sheep. Yes, God is tending to the workings of the entire universe, but God is concerned about you and me individually. God's eye is on everything. God's hand is in everything. And still the Lord watches over you and you and you and me, just like a shepherd tending sheep. Yes, there are other flocks in the sheep too. But David uses the first person, the Lord is my shepherd, to remind us that each of us individually is God's priority. God is so much God, so powerful, that he can care for each of us as if there were only one of us. God caring for you does not impinge on God's ability to care for me. That's why I don't understand people who are jealous about God blessing somebody else. God has enough power. God has enough blessing to meet all of our need. God won't run out blessing them. He's got enough for you too. God blesses each of us as if we were the only sheep in God's flock. That's good news. That means you're not an accident. That means that you are not a mistake. You're not a faceless statistic. It means that you individually, personally, you matter to God. Your life, your soul, your person matters to God. You are a sheep for whom the shepherd, the great God of the universe, takes special and specific notice. And because the shepherd notices you, you lack nothing. That's a good place to praise right there. The Lord is shepherding me. I have everything that I need. The way in which we hear that 17th century language of the New King James Version diminishes the significance of David's declaration, because we read, "I shall not want." As English has changed over the centuries, the word "want" has come to connote a desire for something that is optional rather than for something that is essential. But if you read the 23rd Psalm in its original language, this need, this word "want," really, in Hebrew, it probably is better translated into modern English as need. Need better captures the essence of David's declaration. The Lord is shepherding me. I shall not need anything. In other words, because the Lord is shepherding me, because of God's activity, I have everything that I need. It's the promise of God. It says to us, there's nothing that you need that God will not provide. Think about it. If you didn't have everything you need, you wouldn't be here right now. The fact that you are alive and able to hear the sounds of worship on the phone or on live stream or on Zoom or in person means that you literally have everything you need. Oh, you may not have everything you want, but the Lord has supplied your need. See, here's the difference. You may want steak, but what you need is food. You may want a 5-bedroom house with 2.5 baths and a 2-car garage, but what you really need is shelter. You may want that Neiman Marcus suit, but what you need is clothing. In our modern day, we too easily confuse want with need. And thus we often miss out on the blessing that God is providing as God meets our need, because we are distracted by the fact that God has not met our wants. Let this text help you like David intended. Stop worrying about what you want and learn to rejoice over the fact that you have everything you need. I know it's not fashionable anymore, and perhaps it's a tad cliche, but there's something about that old prayer formula. I thank God that my bed was not my cooling board and my sheet was not my winding sheet. You see, we lost something when we stopped reminding ourselves that I rose this morning with a reasonable portion of health and strength. Because the Lord is shepherding me, I have everything I need. That's worth remembering and celebrating. No good thing will the Lord withhold from those who walk uprightly. It's the promise of God. He shall supply all my need. It's the promise of God. Because the Lord is shepherding me, I have everything. But the text goes on to remind us that in addition to supplying our need, in addition to making provision for us, the shepherd also has a plan for each of us. David makes poetic allusion to the plan in verses 2 and 3 of our text. Listen to those lines. He says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Do you hear the broad contours of God's plan for the care of his sheep? He makes me lie down. He leads me. He restores my soul. He leads me. To be clear, David is not providing a sequence plan, a step one, a step two, a step three. No, what David is talking about is the various seasons in life of a shepherded sheep. There are seasons of rest and nourishment where we lie down in green pastures. There are seasons where the Lord leads us beside still waters and leads us in paths of righteousness. There are seasons when the Lord restores what life leeches from us. And while we're talking about the plan that the shepherd has for us, it's worth noting that the text makes clear that in the course of our shepherd-sheep relationship, watch this, the shepherd does more leading than anything else. That means that we as sheep ought to be prepared to do more following. More following than eating, more following than resting. We ought to be prepared to follow the one who leads us. Text says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul, leads me in paths of righteousness." That's the plan. Makes me lie down, times of rest and nourishment. Leads me beside still waters, leads me in paths of righteousness, times for movement. He restores my soul. Times of restoration. It's God's plan for us. And while the details of the plan vary from sheep to sheep, remember that God cares for us individually. His plan for us is to make certain that we have what we need. In the care of the shepherd, we experience times of rest, where we lie down in green pastures, where we lie down in places where we can feed. David, the poet laureate of the Old Testament, is intentional in his description. Watch what he says, green pastures, symbolizing those places and those spaces in our life's journey where we receive the nourishment that we need so that we have the strength to follow where the Lord leads us. Yes, God will lead us, but in order for us to be able to follow, we've got to have nourishment. What kind of nourishment? The nourishment provided by the Word of God and by time spent in the presence of God. It's in green pastures, in the green pastures of God's Word, where we find the strength to follow the shepherd. Rest and nourishment are part of God's plan for us in the green pastures of worship, where the Lord, the text says, he makes us lie down. It's important because sometimes we don't have enough sense to rest and wait in the place that God has for us. So he'll make us lie down. He'll make us take note of his word. He'll make us engage in worship. And I think that's important to see, because there are some times in our life that God has to bring certain stuff into our lives so we'll stop and worship. So God has to get our attention so we'll stop and study the Word of God. The Lord does what the Lord needs to do in order to get us to the place where we can lie down in the green pastures of word and worship, so that we can be equipped. See, God can't always depend on us to make the right choices. So God will step in and make certain that we have what we need. God will come in and make us lie down so that we can be equipped. Equipped for what? Equipped to follow the leading of the shepherd. I said it earlier, the shepherd's leading is presented to us more than any other aspect of God's plan. He leads us beside still water. He leads us in paths of righteousness. Don't sleep on that poetic imagery there. Still waters and paths of righteousness. When he mentions still waters, you got to hear that phrase in the context of Jewish language and literature. You see, waters, still waters, promotes this image in our modern mind of a sheep and shepherd coming to a placid pool of water where the sheep goes in and gets a drink. But in Hebrew, waters has a much more significant meaning. Waters is the picture of chaos. Whenever you read about waters, there's always danger in waters. Even back in Genesis chapter 1, when the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters, that was the symbol of chaos, unpredictability, danger. And so it is that when God leads us to waters, this notion here is that until God moves, there's danger in the water. To say that God leads us to still waters means that God is at work even as God is leading us, stilling the waters. So that by the time we get there, God has made the turbulent waters of chaos still. It's God at work in the all things of life, speaking peace to life's chaos. This notion that God leads us beside still waters is expressed in a particular verb tense that also applies to the waters. It's an imperfect tense. It means it's an ongoing process that God keeps on leading us to waters that God keeps on stilling for us. You got to see the picture that life is full of chaos and confusion and danger, and yet God leads us. Dangers seen and unseen. The hymn writer says, through many dangers, toils and snares, I've already come. How did I get through them? God stilled the waters. Even as God leads us to still waters, God is at work stilling the waters. That's the shepherd's work, the shepherd's plan for us. You see, trouble won't last always. God will lead you to waters and make them still, just like he did on the Sea of Galilee. The winds, the waves, the water have to be still when the Lord speaks peace. All you've got to do is let the Lord lead you. He'll take care of the waters. But the text also says to us that the shepherd leads us in paths of righteousness. That phrase is perhaps better translated in right paths. In other words, the shepherd leads us in the way that we ought to go. God knows the way that we should go, and God has ordered our steps. All we've got to do is follow the Lord's leading. You see, we have a shepherd. This is the image of this word translated lead here. It's the shepherd of the image of a shepherd who goes ahead of us and clears the path. That really is the poetic image that is evoked by the Hebrew verb translated to lead. It's this notion of God clearing a path. And if you follow the path that the Lord has cleared, that's the right path. It's the right path because God has gone ahead and bulldozed the way through. God has gone through and smoothed out the road. God has filled in some of the potholes. And if you let God lead you, he'll lead you in the right path, the path that lines up with the will and the way and the word of God. The fact of the matter is, that our shepherd doesn't just point us in the right direction and say, go over there. No, he leads us along the right path. And again, it's a process that's continual. God doesn't just lead us and then take a break. No, God will lead us every step of the way. And even when we get off the right path, God is still present with us to guide us back. I know that messes with some of y'all's theology, especially those folk that are more saved than the rest of us. But you got to watch David's own life. David made some mistakes, and the Lord still said of David that he was a man after God's own heart. Why? Because after he sinned, David followed the leading of the shepherd and got back on the right path. All of us stray from time to time. I told you that's part of why the Lord calls us a sheep in the first place. We're prone to wander. But even as we wander, the Lord doesn't leave us to wander alone. No, he's present and willing and able to guide us back along paths of righteousness if we would surrender to his leading, if we would submit to his plan. But even as we follow the leading of the shepherd, life has a way of draining us. From time to time, we find ourselves weary in our souls, worn out, worn down, on the verge of giving up, of the verge of giving out, breaking down. And so part of the shepherd's plan for us in the poetic language of David is to restore our souls. See, it doesn't matter how you got there. We all get there, whether it's family or friends who stressed you out, or whether your job responsibilities have drained you, or whether dealing with the consequences of past mistakes have caused you to be on the verge of a breakdown. There comes a time in everyone's life where you need to be restored. And here's the good news. We have a shepherd who is willing and able to do just that. He has a plan. I'm trying to tell you, the Lord has a plan. The shepherd will pick you up. He'll dust you off, stop your bleeding, bandage your wounds, ease your pain. The shepherd will restore you because it's part of his plan for you. There's no problem too big for the shepherd. There's no depression that's too deep. There's no emptiness that God cannot fill. The shepherd is able to revive, to renew, to restore your soul. The poetic allusion that David uses when he talks about restoring the soul of a sheep is this picture of a shepherd who cares for a sheep that is no longer able to stand. You see, if a sheep lays down for too long, or if a sheep has walked too far, it'll find itself unable to stand. If it's laid down too long, you know how your legs will fall asleep on you. You don't have any feeling, and you can't seem to get up. Or if you've walked too far and your legs begin to bother you because they just can't take the constant walking. Here's the picture in the text that the shepherd would go to that sheep that has been paralyzed either because their legs fell asleep or because they've overworked their muscles. And what the shepherd would do is the shepherd would begin to massage the legs of the sheep. Why would he massage the legs of the sheep? To restore circulation. And in restoring circulation, when the blood begins to flow right into the muscles, the sheep regains its strength and therefore regains its ability to stand. That's what God does for us when life leaves us paralyzed, when life leaves us unable to stand because we're just worn out. We've walked too far. We've done too much. We have a shepherd that'll take us to the side and massage our legs so that we can get the blood flowing again, so that we can get the nourishment flowing again to our muscles, so that we can stand again when the challenges of life weigh you down. Remember that we have a shepherd who work with us, who work on us so that we can stand again and follow where he leads. The Good Shepherd has a plan for us, a plan that provides everything that we need. No matter what the challenge is, God has what we need. Just put your trust in the Lord, knowing that God has a plan because you're his sheep. It doesn't matter that life is crazy and topsy-turvy. The shepherd has the power to still the waters by which he leads you. It doesn't matter that you've wandered away from God. The shepherd has never wandered away from you. He'll lead you back to the right path. When you're tired and weary, the Lord will restore you if you wait on him. He has a plan that will renew your strength. That's just how the shepherd does. I hear the shepherd say, I know the plans I have for you. Plans of peace and not of evil, to bring you a hope and a future. See, that means that whatever you need, God will supply so that you have a future. That's the kind of God that we serve. The Lord has what you need so that you can make it. All you've got to do is trust him. I don't care what's going on. God won't let it last too long. You're not in this thing alone. You have a shepherd. You can make it.
Yeah.
Trust the shepherd's provision. Trust the shepherd's plan. With God, you can get through this, whatever your this is. With God, you can make it through. Our God is able to do just as he promised. He'll do just what he said he'll do. Don't you give up on the shepherd. The shepherd won't give up on you. He's able. My granddaddy used to sing it like this. He said, ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you. The shepherd has a plan that'll carry you through. Won't you trust him? And let God do it. He'll do it if you trust him. You just let him lead you in paths of righteousness. Let him lead you beside still waters. Let him restore your soul. Let him let you lie down in green pastures. Watch the Lord provide. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. That's why we ought to enter his gates with thanksgiving. And come into his courts with praise and be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. He's good to his sheep. He'll keep you. His mercy's everlasting. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Next week we'll talk about, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you're with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. We'll work through the rest of the psalm, but this week I want you to get it, that the Lord will provide every one of your needs, that the Lord has a plan. You just got to follow the plan. Ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. The shepherd is willing to aid you. He'll carry you through. Won't you trust him? He's calling for us to trust his plan, to trust his provision. The Lord is my shepherd. Because he's shepherding me, I have everything I need. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake.